The battle over the Affordable Care Act has brought the federal government to a partial shutdown. Changes to our healthcare system due to the law have already begun reshaping the industry. This includes private hospitals and public ones, for-profit and nonprofit, secular and faith-based institutions. Peace Health is a Catholic-affiliated nonprofit. It runs 9 hospitals and 73 medical practices in Alaska, Oregon, Washington. They've entered into partnerships with public hospitals in Skagit and Snohomish County. They recently agreed to send patients with complex issues to UW medical facilities. The ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and the relationship between hospitals that operate under sometimes contradictory directives are top of mind for Peace Health Chief Alan Yorty these days. It's a big deal for him. He characterizes the Affordable Care Act as one of the greatest social experiments in the history of developed nations around the world.
It's a massive overhaul of healthcare. There will be as many unintended consequences, very likely, as intended consequences. So we're trying to deal with the things that we know. Let me start with kind of our meta-analysis. I think there are going to be 2 things that will change that weren't necessarily discussed at length during the debate over the Affordable Care Act. The first is that we will move much more rapidly from an employer-based healthcare system to an individually-based healthcare system. The second is, and you saw this with the Walgreens announcement last week, we're moving from what's called a defined benefit healthcare system to a defined contribution system, where Walgreens said instead of providing a set of benefits through one insurance plan, we're going to give you a smorgasbord of insurance plans and we will give you a fixed dollar amount to pay for those plans, but it's your choice as an individual employee. That's essentially what the healthcare exchanges are. They're all individual plans. And a certain amount of dollars are being allocated to those plans and the rest is up to the individual. Now, the government's subsidizing some of those plans as well. So those are all new phenomena since World War II. We haven't really seen anything like this since the development of a strong insurance base. So we're going to be flexible. We do know that because of Washington and Oregon's commitment to expanding Medicaid, we're going to see many more folks who are at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale get care that they most certainly deserve. And I will tell you that is one of the great benefits of the Affordable Care Act. Everybody in this country deserves at least a basic benefit package. That's our fundamental view. It grows out of our commitment from the ethical and religious directives all the way to our core values of justice and respect. But everybody must have access to health care and a good health care plan. Now, it may not – that benefit may not include everything, but it should be significant and substantial. Beyond that, you know, how all the regulatory things will work, how the signups in the exchanges will work, I think are to be determined. And so we're trying to be flexible and to be prepared for whatever outcomes we see. The most important thing, and I wish I could send a direct message to Congress, is when we see something that isn't working, come together and find a fix and do it quickly, because this is going to be a work in progress probably for the next 2 to 4 years.
Or more. Have you seen anything?
Or more. Yeah.
Have you seen anything that already that you say, look, this isn't working, let's fix it?
Well, there is one thing that we're working on right now. Number one, we think it's going to take longer to insure the 32 million Americans that the Affordable Care Act assumed. And you may recall that part of the debate was a grand bargain. So in exchange for more Americans insured, the healthcare system put many billions of dollars on the table. In other words, in payment cuts. Well, it turns out the payment cuts are already going into place, but the time that we need to reach enrollment is probably going to extend from a year or so to 4 or 5 years. And so those hospitals and healthcare systems that are taking a disproportionate share of Medicaid, and Medicaid in Washington and Oregon pay hospitals, for instance, about 60 cents for every dollar of their cost, not charges, their cost. And these disproportionate share payments are actually critical to being able to continue to serve those patients. So we're saying let's – if we're going to slow down the enrollment or see slower enrollment than we expected, then let's slow down the cuts in payment too.
we're seeing slower enrollment simply because the system itself is slow to ramp up?
Well, that's a great question. I think we're going to see slower enrollment because I think you're going to see a number of people to choose who will choose to pay a $95 tax rather than to pay a $1,200 insurance bill. And if you believe you don't need insurance and you're relatively healthy, if you're making a, you know, just a rational economic choice, you'll make the choice to pay $95 versus $1,200, which is roughly for a single individual on a silver plan, making $30,000 to $40,000 a year, if that's what they make, that's about the difference in cost. So people will probably make rational choices, and until those taxes go up to the point where they equal the cost of insurance, people will make the choice to do the rational thing.
One political question. Are the Republicans helping this evolution by shutting down the government or and trying to start this debate, or are they short-stopping the effort to see some of these reforms to the ACA?
Well, I have a long-held belief that health care is neither a Republican or a Democrat issue. It ought to be a public issue. And so my message to Congress is sit down in a room, figure it out, and get on with both implementation of the Affordable Care Act in some form or fashion, which will happen, and then fix the issues that arise over the next 12 to 24 months because we are for sure going to have things that need attention.
Well, you're one of those companies that provides services to the poor and the uninsured. So you are, I would wonder, isn't the Affordable Care Act basically designed to help you save some money in the long run?
We certainly hope so. But what we are finding, if you look at the silver plan in the exchanges, that's a very high deductible plan. And even with insurance, if you're talking about someone who makes $30,000 or $40,000 a year, they could well be facing a bill of $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and they very likely will not be able to afford to pay that entire amount. So one of the questions we're asking ourselves is what provision do we need to make on top of the Affordable Care Act to continue addressing the needs of those who really are among the lower paid in our country? We, for instance, in our own employees, for those employees who we are under 200% of the federal poverty guideline, we provide a special health benefit, special education benefits, and special emergency loan benefits. We just believe it's our ethical and moral commitment to do so.
The union representing the workers, SEIU Local 49, they're concerned about a new high deductible option that you're offering require a family to pay up to $4,000 out of pocket before health care coverage kicks in. That's the kind of high deductible that you're talking about. Are there these other options that they can also access? Or will they be restricted to that?
We have two options in our health plan. That is one, and then there's another one that has higher coverage and higher cost. But there is a choice, even in our own health plan coverage. And keep in mind what I said just a few minutes ago. For low-income workers, in other words, those under 200% of federal poverty guideline, that's their income in a given year, which for, let's say, a single mom with a child would be somewhere in the $30,000 to $32,000 a year range. If they're under that amount of money, if that's what they make, then we have special provisions where regardless of which of the two plans they choose, their out-of-pockets are more limited than those people in higher wage categories. And we just think, again, that that's part of our commitment to serve everyone.
We are trapped in a world of perverse incentives, aren't we?
It's an interesting time, and we're going to learn a lot, believe me, in the next 2 to 3 years.
That's Alan Yorty. He is the president of Peace Health. More about Peace Health and how its affiliation with secular hospitals will affect abortion, maternity, and contraception services and end-of-life care. That's next hour on The Record.